The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome Simon Fike, the Southeast Asia and India General Manager for the online travel website Expedia. Simon, good of you to join us for The Grill. Let's start with your plans in the Asia Pacific. Now, this is a huge growth market for what is essentially an American brand. Your footprint are the ASEAN nations as well as India. Why India in addition to Southeast Asia? Just set the framework for us.
I think Expedia is born in the US. That's true. We are actually a small subdivision of Microsoft that basically grew, born in 1996. But we've been in Asia for like 10 or 11 years. We actually started in Japan, but the next market we did was actually India. So that part of the world has been important for Expedia for a while, half of our story. So Asia and India, for us, those are markets where we see a lot of, obviously, growth in the customers, right? Like the number of middle-class people traveling, etc., is all these, what is fueling, for example, the growth of our Asia and the low-cost carriers. All of that is common between India and Southeast Asia, so there's a lot of similarities between those markets.
But just in terms of your remit, Simon, are from France, and have a French accent, but you oversee India, which is a huge and not exactly homogenous country of over a billion people, and then you've got ASEAN, which is another non-homogenous area with 10 countries, 700 million people, all of whom speak different languages and different cultures. So how does a Frenchman come to two hugely disparate regions and try and make a fist of it?
Right, that's a great question. So I think I'm born and bred in France, and I work in a lot of European roles before I moved here. I think what you learn quickly is how to really be able to learn from different cultures, but also really focus on what really matters. So
what really matters?
So what really matters, it depends on what you do, right? Like on our case, what really matters is how people travel. What really matters to them when they decide where to go, what they're looking for, what kind of, you know, flight or accommodation. And that has, you have a lot of differences between them with the countries, but also a lot of similarities, right? So we try to, and at Expedia, I think we have a very scientific approach to things. So we try to measure and use like science to really understand what people want. We've just launched an innovation lab in Singapore, and basically what an innovation lab is we bring a lot of customers from all these different countries into a lab, and we have like amazing technologies, and we basically put them in front of a computer and ask them to plan for their trips. And we observe. We have a technology called electromyography, which measures actually the emotional response that people have when they look at the screen. We also have eye tracking technologies. And those technologies basically tell us what people are really enjoying or not enjoying or really want to do. So it's even better for us than asking questions, because people actually, if we see their emotions, we measure that.
So what kind of key findings? Because obviously this is hugely interesting, and this is, you know, obviously one of the early stages of artificial intelligence and really mapping the human mind. But what kind of conclusions are you reaching at this point in time?
So it's a lot of small things, right? So what we observe every day is basically impacting the way we design our product. It will be like what kind of pictures are interesting, what kind of information people are looking for, how to display information better for people to find what they're really looking for, especially in the context of mobile. So, I mean, it's a lot of very small things that basically make our product better every day.
Okay, let's analyze Malaysia then. What kind of Malaysian behaviors are you observing?
Obviously, there is one big thing in Malaysia that the first thing that people really are looking for is price, right?
So does that make Malaysia any different? Because everybody is cost conscious, especially at this time of era.
Everyone is cost conscious. You would see that great deals or prices is in the top five of preference of customers when we do research. But Malaysia is the one where we have the highest ranking of that attribute. So they are especially price conscious. I'd say that's also a similarity between Malaysia and other markets in Southeast Asia and India, but Malaysia in particular is really strong on that.
Well, Simon, get more granular than that, because I could have told you that without the use of computers and, you know, technology, I could have told you that Malaysians are cost conscious anyway. So what else are they, you know?
Yeah, so basically what it tells us is what kind of information they're looking for on that page. So if they're looking only about prices, are they looking also for you know, other information about what they're going to find there. And how important is that information? So it's purely about how to make sure that they find that information and how price should be the only thing, a part of the thing information they're looking for, or just one information among others. So just changing the way we display the information, basically.
Okay. Well, you are part of the, you know, the U.S. listed Expedia Inc. group, right, which includes other assets like Orbitz and Hotels.com. You are just the ASEAN and India representative for Expedia, the travel website. What's your growth strategy here, given that we've just read that you bought Traveloka for what, 350 odd million U.S. dollars? You know, half a year ago or so.
So Traveloka, we just announced that we've bought a stake in that company. So we actually haven't bought the company itself. We actually have a partnership with that company. The brand will continue to operate separately from the other brands. So we are minority investors in Traveloka, and we will continue to operate independently. The only thing that is going to change a bit is that we have announced as well that we are we're sharing the hotel supply that we have, right? So customers can find also the Traveloka inventory on our site, and they can find our inventory on their site.
Of course, and you would as well, being sister companies with Hotels.com. But what is the strategy? Does Traveloka come under your Expedia umbrella, or does it work in unison with you? Do you integrate the operations? Do you brand under one name, or do you allow it to travel on under its own equity, brand equity? What is the procedure going forward?
Yeah, no, as I said, it's business as usual for both brands, right? So okay, it's basically an investor in that company.
So what drove that decision? Obviously, you could have done it organically and gone to Indonesia, where Traveloka is based, and built out your model there, or you'd have just bought, as you did, Traveloka. What is the thinking behind that strategy?
I think we're really keen on learning on some of the things they've done, and they've done a great job so far. So we're really looking forward for collaboration. As I said, a key thing for us is the hotel side as well, to have, come as together as brands and basically engage hotels in a stronger fashion. So that's, I think that's what drove it. I think it's a sensible investment from the group, a good way for us to learn a lot of new things. So I'm very excited by that.
Okay. Well, the acquisition price for a stake in Traveloka valued the company over $1 billion. That is, I think, what made it a real unicorn, I guess, from a valuation standpoint. What kind of metrics make a travel website valuable?
I think it's a broader question. The question is, how do you value startups? Because like Traveloka is a 4 or 5 years old company. Really, it's about growth and the ability for them to execute and the quality of the product they're building. So a lot of factors come into play. So I think we saw that in that company, which decided to invest. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Earlier, you referenced, Simon, the fact that you've got your innovation lab for your Asia Pacific region in Singapore. You've got, I think, a couple more, one in London and one in Bellevue in the US.
Correct.
What drove the decision to base your Asia Pacific innovation lab in Singapore? Why not Malaysia? Why not Bangkok? Why not Jakarta?
So our headquarters for Asia Pacific is in Singapore, right? So this is where we have our biggest operation right now. So that's what drove the decision. What we're looking at right now, though, is, as I said, it's very important for us to get real insight from customers from everywhere, and even from all the markets like Malaysia, like Thailand, but not only from Bangkok or Kuala Lumpur, but also from like smaller cities, right? So we are really looking at ways to get those customers in, or for us to move our lab and make it mobile, so we can really get this engagement locally. Because that's really, I don't think, like a representation from Malaysia is only by people living in Kuala Lumpur, right? So we need that kind of very deep engagement everywhere. So we're looking at building that.
Okay, so from a league table standpoint, from a ranking standpoint, there's lots of competitors in the market. Don't have to name all of them, but obviously one of the big spenders in this part of the world is Trivago. And they are making a real effort to really get some subscribers and usage on. But they are your sister company. So isn't there some kind of cannibalism going on?
I think we have a policy. The group lets the brands compete with each other. I think Trivago is a very different to what we do, right? You don't book your trip with Trivago. You just look at the different options. And then you come to a site like Expedia to book it.
From a UI, from a user experience UX standpoint, doesn't that make it a bit confusing? Because you've got to travel and transport yourself from platform to platform, brand experience to brand experience.
Yeah, I think,
why don't you just integrate it?
I mean, like, it's a good question for customers. What do they prefer, right? Like, we offer a full-service website, right? So for us, it's really about bringing all the choices to customers. So we have 435,000 hotels, 500 airlines on the site. You can choose from all of that on Expedia. But we are different from like meta search players. We actually fulfill, issue your tickets, have a customer service. We'll be with you all the way during the trip, right? So I think it's for the customers to decide what they want to use. I think the story is not written anywhere, right? So people are still trying different things and exploring.
We're talking today to Simon Fike, the Southeast Asia and India General Manager for the online travel website Expedia. After this, we're going to get your views on Chelsea Clinton, we're going to get your views on India, and we're going to get your views on the Asian travel market.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Today on the grill, we have Simon Fike, the General Manager for Southeast Asia and India for the online travel website Expedia. Now, we read, Simon, quite interestingly, that Chelsea Clinton is on the board of Expedia. Obviously, she is who she is, and her father was the former President of the United States. What kind of value does she bring to the fold?
I think our chairman, with Barry Diller, is someone who's been very influential in the media landscape and the internet landscape in the U.S. for many, many years now. He's always...
You're talking about Barry Diller, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Barry Diller. Chelsea Clinton was on the board of one of his companies, was very key. He's really appreciated what the work she's been doing. I think she's someone who is very thoughtful and brings a lot of good energy and good thoughts to any company. So I think we're just keen to get her as well on the board.
Well, the thing is, Chelsea Clinton is obviously Bill's daughter, and Bill Clinton is obviously a longtime ally and cohort of Barry Diller. Does this lend an unnecessary political element to an otherwise commercial enterprise?
I think for us, it's not our, that's definitely the way that Barry Diller saw it, was like she will bring what she brings herself. And I don't think he wanted to do anything that was specifically political.
Well, I guess the question really is, if she wasn't Bill Clinton's daughter, would she be on the board of Expedia?
My understanding is that yes, because I think she brings herself a lot of insight. She's been someone very active on many fronts for many years now. So I don't think she's only Bill's daughter.
Okay, let's move along to some industry metrics here. And of course, Expedia and other travel websites such as yourselves. How do you measure, what are the key metrics which are valuable in your business?
Obviously for us, there are a few metrics that are important, but so obviously business metrics like revenue and all of that. We have one very big focus on our customer satisfaction as well. That's one of the key metrics we measure. As I said, we bring customers all the way and we support them through all their trips, before trips, after trips, etc. So that's really, really important. We have, the shift to mobile as well has been very big for this industry and for e-commerce in general. Like, people are using their phone a lot more, which poses a lot of challenges from a product standpoint, because it's more difficult to really create like easy interface to use on mobile. So we really monitor that very carefully as well. Okay. How are we doing there?
So I guess the key metric for any shareholder or any investor would really be revenues. That's a starting point, obviously. Obviously, Expedia does about $6.5-7 billion on an annual basis. That's about 3-4 times the size of TripAdvisor, but still a bit smaller than Priceline's $9-odd billion. And Google, which has a company called Trips, which is doing about $12-and-a-bit billion. So, these are big dogs you're up against. What kind of positioning do you adopt to make you different from the Pricelines and the TripAdvisors, even the Googles of this world?
So I think for us, Expedia itself is very focused on building a full service online travel agent, right? So we try to cater for all the needs of all travelers. So on our site, you can buy car rentals, you can buy activities for your trip, you can buy obviously flights and hotels, package. So I think that's very different from what Priceline has been doing so far. We have a very, very strong focus on technology as well. We invested $1.2 billion last year on technology, and I think that's really, really, in the long term, that will make the difference. I think Google is It's mostly doing this as their revenue on advertising, right? So their focus on travel is as in all their other industries, it's not a big focus of the company itself. So we don't think that it's necessarily someone we look at specifically. We actually try to focus on building that entire experience for customers, and actually very, very difficult to do.
We're talking this morning to Simon Fike, the general manager for Southeast Asia and India for the online travel website Expedia, which is obviously an offshoot of the Microsoft Corporation group of companies. Now, Simon, you'd mentioned the use of technology as a differentiator, but you know, in terms of technology, Google is one of the top three in the world, if not one of the foremost when it comes to technology deployment. They haven't really come and bloomed into a full-fledged travel website yet, but if they do, what's the strategy?
It's funny you ask. I was working with Google before I joined Expedia. I worked there for 8 years. So I can say with certainty that the focus we have on travel and customers and the entire basically experience from your booking to your trip is not something that Google is really, really looking at all. And
so
it's
what,
not
what
going
do
to
they
happen.
Look at? I mean, you know, the size and the ubiquity of their reach makes this a hugely interesting project for them, because when I look at the Asia Pacific travel market, it's supposed to reach a $400 billion market just this year alone in Asia Pacific. So that's not small potatoes.
Right. So I think I can't comment on Google strategy at this stage, but if you look at what they're doing, they're looking at helping people to search and find things very quickly, right? So that's where the part they play. So that's what they've been doing in travel. I don't see that changing necessarily fundamentally in the future.
Okay. And the other anomaly, I guess, in your business is the fact that although Google is a rival of yours in terms of the business, in terms of the travel business, they are also one of your biggest destinations for online spending to build your brand.
Mm-hmm.
So how ironic is that? Because you're competing with them on one platform, but deploying their platform on another to build your brand. I guess you must be trying to find some way of moving their dollar elsewhere. And I think you're trying to put that on Facebook as well. So just talk us through that. You know, the irony, that anomaly.
It's not an anomaly. If you look at the world travel space, it's there's a lot of different players playing a different role, right? So between us selling airlines tickets to customers, to Trivago, as you mentioned before, which is just solving part of the problem, which is just to search for hotels, with Google playing another role. I think everyone is basically trying to help customers. And customers, in the world of online, people can address a click away from all the different things, right? So it's very easy for people to change from one platform to the other. So as I said earlier, I think it's, you know, all of this is maturing. I don't know what the world will look like in 10 years, to be frank. But it's important for us. We go where customers are, right? So if people are searching things on Google, yeah, for sure we want to tell them that, you know, we have things for them. If they're searching things on other meta search players, we want to be there as well. We also want to make sure that people understand the value we bring to them. And also we communicate directly to them through TV advertising, for example, through social media. So we do all those things, and we have a very diverse set of engagement with customers. And just those channels that you mentioned are just, you know, different ways for us to interact with customers.
Well, in terms of ad spend, and Simon, do correct me at any point in time if I'm wrong, but having rattled off your revenue numbers on an annual basis, around about $7 billion a year, I read that by the third quarter, you really spent over $1 billion on advertising and marketing, which is a huge chunk of spend. A, is that number right? And where you spent it on? And B, what kind of, if at all, profits are you recording? Expedia. Is Expedia profitable?
Yeah, as you if you read our press release and earnings from Q2, we are a profitable company for sure. We actually have a policy to issue dividends as well, and so our profits have actually grown faster than our revenue last Q2. I think we grew the revenue at 12% and the profit at 19%.
But ad spend is at least 20% of revenues, if not more. So that sounds like a huge whack by any stretch of the imagination.
It is, yes. So that's a big cost of our business, obviously. That's as I said, because there are a lot of players, we have to basically incur a lot of marketing costs for sure. But that said, that's still, again, we are a listed company. We actually are making profit, as you can see. So it's just a cost of running the business.
Sure. Simon, clarify this for me. Do you spend more as a percentage of revenue on marketing than you do on R&D?
I think the number I have in mind is like we spend $1.2 billion on technology. So if we spend $1 billion on marketing, that means so we spend a bit less on marketing.
Okay, so roughly 50 to 60% of revenues are spent on technology as well as marketing. Is that right? It would be around about that. Yeah.
So
marketing is as important as it is on R&D, yeah?
In terms of spend, yes, of course. But like our focus last 5 years, really, I've been to hire a lot of engineers, invest in technology, because we believe in the long run, that's what matters to people, to have great products, things that are easy to use, very simple. And so that's basically why we've been investing so much in technology over the last 5 years.
Okay. And I guess because you spend such a great whack on advertising and marketing, you know, measurability and accountability must matter to you. I don't think you would get such measurability from the Facebook platform, from the Instagrams and the WhatsApps. Clearly not WhatsApp, but on Facebook as well. So it must be a bit of a conundrum for you guys because you spend so much and you've got to do it through Google, who are competing with you on the other side.
So we are extremely, as I said, very scientific in our approaches, and that goes for marketing as well. You would be surprised by how much energy we put into measuring every single thing that we do. So obviously, online marketing channels, some of them are easier to measure, but even TV, we've invested a lot in actually being able to measure the impact of every single TV spot that we run, and we know that.
So right? I just saw your Raya ad, which runs on YouTube. Very nice, very entertaining. What kind of measurability? I mean, what kind of success metrics do you have? You pinned on that particular ad.
So we look at the overall growth of the business following those ads, but specifically we have metrics.
But there's no direct causal link, though, Simon. Right? That's the eternal conundrum for marketers.
We actually have a tool that allows us to measure for every single spot we run. How many visitors we get on the site at that specific moment.
It's a direct click-through or direct...
Not a click-through, just
demonstration of interest, right?
Right, so you basically match what we see on our site and our own data with actually the TV schedule that we have. And then we have a prediction model that basically tries to identify the exact impact of the spot versus what would have been the baseline. So it's a very, it's quite scientific way to do it. And it's very, very precise now, the way we've done it. So we learn a lot and we know what kind of ads people prefer as well. So we can measure, do different testing as well. And we can also measure when people prefer to see those ads and when they take an action by potentially taking their phone and searching the website. So that's very, very insightful. So we love to play with those things.
So last week we spoke to TBWA, you know, the global advertising agency. And in their world, it's 20th century advertisers and 21st century advertisers. And you obviously fall in the latter camp. In the world of marketing, you are Daddy Warbucks. You guys are spending billions. In your words, which is the most successful, the most ROI platform for marketers today?
Honestly, that really depends on which category you are and how well you do it. What we've noticed as well...
So there's a high element of creativity. Does that emanate from yourselves or from the agency?
Yeah, we work with agencies as well, for sure. And as I said, it's important for us to really get the local context. And typically when we work with local agencies, they have a lot of context that is useful for us. I would say there is no answer to that question you asked, because really what we've learned in the past is that you can say a given channel doesn't work for you. And then you realize for your customer, for your competitor, it does. And then suddenly you start investigating, why is that possible? And you start realizing all the things that you don't know, that you should know to make this channel work better. And suddenly if you invest in the right tools and people and measurement, suddenly you realize that the channels can be super efficient for you. So actually there's no answer. You need to really, really work hard at it. When you have our scale, as you said, we spend a lot of money in marketing, that allows us to get a lot more data as well. So when we learn faster because we do a lot of those tests everywhere, globally, and so we can really be very more precise than if you just do one-off tests and you don't have a follow-up on this.
Okay, well, it was really enlightening and eye-opening to talk to you, Simon. So thank you for spending time with us and good luck with the business plan. That was Simon Fike, the Southeast Asia and India General Manager for the online travel website Expedia, BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.